Hey everyone, it's your host of See Jurassic Right, Stephen Ray Morris here, just dropping in to say I hope you've been enjoying all the new episodes in 2023 and 2024 so far. There are new interviews with filmmakers, musicians, scientists, the screenwriter of Land Before Time, audio essays about the rich history of the Jurassic Park and Jurassic World franchise, and all the news about the upcoming animated show Jurassic World Chaos Theory, and the as-of-yet-untitled Jurassic World sequel coming next summer. I really need your help supporting the show right now, and you can do that by leaving a tip and or giving a monthly follow on Patreon, patreon.com/seejurassicright. There are $1 and $5 tiers, but more is coming. Sharing the show, giving 5-star reviews in Apple Podcasts, and liking and commenting on social, at Stephen Ray Morris on Instagram and Twitter, goes a long way to help boosting the show's visibility again online in this new era. I'm an independent podcaster, and your support is so important and means the world to me in keeping this podcast running. Link to the Patreon is in the show notes. Hold on to your butts. Thank you, and now on to the show.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Filled with odd fright, see Jurassic Right. Bathing in amber light, see Jurassic Right. See Jurassic Right, right, right. See Jurassic Right, right, right. See Jurassic Right, right, right. See Jurassic Right, see Jurassic Right. See Jurassic Park.
Okay, so I mean, we just have to start with it. You went to Ruby Fields.
How's it going?
You came all the way here to California. You went to Universal Studios and what to ride the Jurassic ride.
I got there the whole day. I was like, I'll leave it till last. I was wearing my shirt. I was ready. And then as soon as I got down to the lower lot, I just saw that the water was drained at the bottom of like the warehouse that the ride's usually in. And I was like, oh, surely they've changed it. They've moved it. And I went up to the gentlemen that were in front of the ride, and they just very kindly let me know that it's shut till after I leave to go back to Australia.
Wait, and this is your first time in California?
Yeah, it's like my first time in America, really.
Really?
Yeah, so I was like, it was like the one thing. I was like, I've got to go on. I've watched the YouTube videos of it for like my whole life. And I'm like, I've got to go. And everyone afterwards replied to my story just going, no. And going, I hate to rub it in, but it's the best ride. And I'm like, I know.
As me speaking on behalf of all of America, I apologize. But I'm so excited. I mean, we're meeting in person. This is very exciting. We've already been talking about Jurassic Park for like 2 hours already. So,
yep.
I wanted to spend some time to talk about Dominion, Jurassic World Dominion. You just saw the extended edition, but right now, by the way, we're hanging out with a bunch of dinosaurs.
On the table. Giganotosaurus, I'm currently touching from Dominion.
I mean, we can make noises, but this is, I feel like, oh, there's, I forget which buttons are which.
Yeah, I was going to say, these all move.
This is like a rootin' tootin' fighting guy.
Wow.
And did you saw it when it first came out in theaters, right? The first weekend?
Yeah. The first day it came out.
Because we had talked, I believe that was like last October when your record came out. And so that, yeah, there we go.
Whoa.
He's just hitting people. He's out of control.
Wow. We spoke.
You kind of match the Giganotosaurus, actually.
I know. I'm wearing all like kind of green on my socks too. But we spoke, I think, right after my album came out. Yes, like September, October last year.
Yeah.
And I remember you said to me, like, don't worry, I just know that you have Jurassic Park in one of your songs. If you're not a massive fan, we don't have to talk for long. And we ended up talking for about 2.5 hours or something. It was meant to be 40 minutes.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, you're going to have to cut this up. Like, really fine.
No, it was so much fun. But I believe at the time the trailer hadn't come out yet. Because I think the trailer came out in January or something. So at that point, because I feel like there's a chunk of our conversation where we were talking a lot about, you know, just hopes, dreams, theories, all those things like that. So I guess for you, I mean, what do you think of Jurassic World Dominion and like, what was it like the first time you were seeing it?
I think I get very emotional with it all because it's been such a big part of my life, but yeah. I was at the cinemas with my mum and dad. And they obviously know better than anyone how much I've rewatched that movie my whole life. And it was really cool to go with them. And it just every part of it, it was like I was trying to commit it to memory and going, oh, this is so special because oh, this is happening. And I just tried, like I knew I was going to rewatch it however many times, but going to see it was, yeah, I loved it. It was like they did that one for the fans.
Yeah.
It's almost like everything they did, it was like if you're a fan, you will get every little thing that we've done here and it's for you.
In a weird way, it almost feels to me, and I don't know if you feel this way, it almost feels more like a sequel to the original Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Where like clearly there are story elements about Claire and Owen and Macy, but in a weird way, it almost serves to like finish a story set up in the original of like, I don't know, I was trying to figure out the right way to say this, but just it's like, all the promise of like this park and what it means, where it's like Macy's story is like, well, what if it's not just a park? Like, what if this dinosaur power can be used to like save the world? Or I don't know, something yeah. like there's something there's like, I get that feeling when I think about it.
Cause they didn't really tap into what Michael Crichton wrote about in terms of like using them for like military power, right? Like
yeah.
that's what they started to tap into in Fallen Kingdom.
Yeah.
And then in Dominion, you see like that tidbit where they're running through where are they again
in
Malta yeah. And they are running through Malta and that's where you get that taste of like oh that's what happened to those dinosaurs that were sold in Fallen Kingdom and the clone clones had been sold everything like that so it was cool to finally see that part of the novel kind of or like the ideas behind that kind of come into play
that's what I guess what I was trying to hit on is that idea of like all the almost like possibilities, because, you know, like I feel like people know, and just from even the last podcast that you are a big Michael Crichton fan, you read the books, you know, and it's like that idea of like, I think as a Jurassic Park fan and as a fan of the book, Jurassic World Dominion almost feels like, yeah, what are all the possibilities from Michael Crichton's book? Now we're actually seeing like the what if that happens. That's what I was like, you referenced that idea how in, well, the Ellen and Ellie of like they're together and Tim asks it.
Yeah.
Describe what that was.
I'm pretty sure in the book it's Tim that asks because I think that in the movie, I swear it's Lex that's like, do you have any kids? Are you married or something like that? But then in the book, I think it's Tim that asks if Ellie and Alan are together. And then he says, no, she's engaged to this doctor or this scientist back where she's from. And it was Philadelphia. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then in the movie, when Dr. Ian Malcolm's trying to hit on Ellie by doing the God equation and everything like that. Yeah. And he's trying to hit on her and he's like, oh, you know, are you two? And when she jumps out of the car and Dr. Grant's like, yes, we are. And trying to kind of gives him like that cold shoulder and like lets him know. And then I think you get teased within the books and obviously then she's married in the third one, which is probably a reference to the guy that was spoken about in the first novel.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, okay, you finally. And then I think Maisie asked them the same thing and in Dominion where she says, are you guys together?
Yeah.
And they're like, no, old friends, old friends.
Yeah.
And he's like, and he seems a bit like, yeah, just old friends. And then they get that smooch in at the end. I was cheering. I was cheering in the theater.
Yeah, because we talked about that too, of like what we want from that and if we wanted them to get together or not. But like,
I think in the podcast we did, I said that. I was like, maybe they're going to get together.
Yeah.
Like maybe they will because they were like, they were together in the first one or it was just like, you know, insinuated in the first film that they were.
Yeah.
So I was like, they better, like, I know that they have to do this.
Well, and almost that it's like, I guess what I liked about it was that it felt like they fell back in love in the movie.
Yeah.
So I think because that was like people's fears was that they didn't want it to feel like unearned or like we open up and they're already together.
And but, you know, it's going to happen because before I walked in, I was like, either one of them's going to die and it's going to be crazy or they're going to get back together. And in the trailer, you know, she's like, you're coming or what? And like, that's when you're like, oh, there's so much tension. Yeah, like, yeah. I can feel it without seeing the movie. And then in the movie where he says something about kids and whatever and asks about the husband, she's like, oh, no, divorced. And she, as soon as she says that, you know it's on. Like, the rest of the movie is them building up tension and revisiting their old adventures. And it's definitely going
to
happen.
Yeah. To go back to the Michael Crichton of it all, of like, there's just so many moments in this movie where it really felt like, yeah, the idea that like, you know, the whole locust thing and stuff feels very Michael Crichton to me.
Yeah. They kind of went going down that scientific avenue. I know that all of them are about science and everything, but I feel like they spoke a lot of theory in the first one. And then in these later ones, they've applied it a bit more. And especially in Fallen Kingdom, the kind of, it's not all about dinosaurs, you know, now it has become about like more to focus on the possibilities that occur from cloning.
Yes.
And then the locusts and everything else and controlling. And you know, honestly, having like this white man control the world's food supply isn't actually that far-fetched from what's going on in this age.
Yeah.
So it's probably, if anything, more relatable to what we, you know, like it seems like a more relatable kind of plot.
Well, that's what I like about Michael Crichton is that, and I feel like it's one of those weird soapboxes that I get on where it's like the most sci-fi thing about Jurassic Park is that they brought back dinosaurs. But the fact that animals are used in military, like that's already happening.
Yeah.
Like you're saying, like, corporations controlling food supplies, all that stuff. And there's this Walt Disney history book that I have over there. Mm-hmm. And in the book, they brought it up in one of my favorite podcasts, The Ride. Walt Disney hired scientists to genetically modify mosquitoes so that the females wouldn't breed, so that they would kill the mosquito. And I'm like, I wonder if that the bug thing in this movie is like a reference to that.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Because I could see, you know, because Walt Disney is some like weird analog to like Hammond and, you know, the scientists and stuff like that. And so it's like, I wonder if that was like
a related thing.
Cause that feels very, again, very Michael Crichton, this idea that like, yeah, people would use genetic power to do crazy things.
But I also love that his message throughout all of it is, you know, like just because we could, we never stop to think if we should. Yeah. And so his message is always that life finds a way and everything else. And it talks about, I feel like it talks about, you know, men's lust for power, like as humankind's lust for power, and just like Murphy's law, everything that can go wrong will go wrong.
Yeah.
And I sort of love that it's like you can tell how densely he's researched things. When you read his books, it's funny, like people are like, oh, like how's the book? And I'm like, it's so different from the movie, but this is exactly the same thing. It's like the bones of it and everything, but it's mostly just pages and pages of data and you have no idea
what it is. Yeah, charts, spreadsheets. Like
charts and spreadsheets and just like there's literally like one part where it's like three pages of just numbers. And it's like it's almost like he's just determined to prove like, I know my shit. Like I know what I'm doing. And I think that it's cool because it's almost like you feel like he's just this massive nerd that loves that. And I think, you know, that comes through so much in his writing. And oh, yeah, that's probably just the part I love the most, like how intense he gets.
Yeah, and I feel like, Dominion captures that a little bit more too, because like even in Jurassic Park, there's like in the original book, the whole like first, you know, before they get to the part, like they actually get to the island, there's all this kind of like what's happening around the world. And I feel like we kind of got a little flavor of that in the movie where you're like, Ellie's over here checking out like the locust thing and Grant's over the dig site. And like, I kind of love that we were like, and then Claire is like freeing dinosaurs and Owen's, you know, like helping like maintain dinosaur populations and all that stuff. And
I have to ask, and I know this is your podcast, but
no.
The one thing that's been burning in my mind, because I've kind of changed my mind about it, but I'm not sure. Because on our last podcast that we did, we were talking about, you know, the fact that Dodgson's probably going to come back.
Yeah.
Do you think he was cast well from who he was in the original movie? Because, you know, but then I thought about it. I was like, that's not the same guy at all. Like, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But then I thought about it and I was like, in the first movie, he's a shady, awkward, socially awkward character.
Yeah.
And he was that in Dominion. Like,
yeah.
But that scene, I think it's where he's introducing Dr. Grant and Dr. Sattler to the institution saying, you know, he'll be taking care of you, blah, blah, blah. And then there's that one scene where he asks for like a muesli bar or something.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's really awkward. And yeah. Then he just goes, oh, okay. And walks away.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, there's so many parts of Dodgson in that movie where I was like, he didn't get any showtime really, apart from one pivotal moment where he's like, sell me the embryos.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he gets this full like story and this odd, quirky persona.
Yeah.
But yeah, because that to me, and then I started thinking maybe he was actually really cast well for that kind of.
I mean, I wanted to get into the whole Dodgson of it all. What am I? I'm trying to collect my thoughts.
I totally took you out.
I really love it. I think there's something to be said about people wishing that he would have been reintroduced back into the stories sooner.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't know what would be the point of like, because if you're going to show a rival dinosaur company in Jurassic World and in Fallen Kingdom, you can't just show that and then be like, all right, well, whatever.
That'll come in later.
Jurassic Park is a weird movie series where a lot of times there's no reason to show stuff earlier.
Yeah.
Because again, like part of me like wishes Macy would have been introduced earlier too, because I find her story so compelling and almost my favorite thing about Dominion.
Yeah.
But it's like, why would you show this clone girl just sitting around at home until you're going to pay it off?
Yeah, and like tell the story.
Yeah, I was going to ask what you thought of Dodgson, and I didn't really put two and two together of like kind of the awkwardness of him in the first Jurassic Park. Cause you think about it in a way, like that's what they had to do with Wu, where it's like, he's a character that's like barely 5 minutes in Jurassic Park. And then they really created a compelling, interesting character out of nothing, essentially.
Yeah.
And so I wonder, maybe that's what people wanted out of like maybe reintroducing him. But I really like it because I feel like somebody like Dodgson, you know, in the Lost World book, like, he's like fresh from like losing all this money and Nedry getting killed. So you understand that version of Dodgson would go rogue and like, I'm literally going to go to the island myself. Like, you know, and go through all the adventures in the Lost World book that, you know, never made it to the movie.
Yeah.
But I imagine a Dodgson who's been around for almost 30 years, he's like, yeah, you're not going to get anywhere by being this openly shady. You have to like build a corporate, like I love movies when they make the bad guys seem like the good guys to the rest of the world, kind of, you know. I would have almost liked if Dodgson had decided to make another park and people liked it this time or something, you know what I mean, something like that, where it's like, and again, that feels very Michael Crichton, like the idea that there's this shiny, but it's like updated for the, you know, 21st century of like the Apple logo shininess of it all, you know? And so I really liked Dodgson, and I thought all the stuff with him and Mamadou Athey's character, why can't I remember his name right now?
I don't know why I'm thinking Milo, but I don't think it's not Milo.
Ramsey Cole.
Ramsey, yeah.
But like, I found all that stuff very compelling, and like the idea that like you realize that your boss actually is like, at his core, is a shady criminal.
Yeah, like he's not a good guy.
Yeah, at the end of the day, he's still the Dodgson that we saw in Jurassic Park. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it's just hard to like show a character once for 5 minutes, 6 movies ago, and then just show him again. And just, I think it's a hard leap, but I also like, I'm fine with it because I think they did a good job with
it. Yeah, I think it was really good to, because, you know, like in the first movie, there's not, like in Jurassic Park, there's not necessarily a villain.
Yeah.
It's just like the pro/antagonist being the T-Rex, when really it's actually just like the ambitiousness of man, if you were to put an enemy to it.
Well, because even
Nedry, but he's like, he's so harmless almost that as soon as he dies, you're like, okay, well, that's like, you know, half the movie. And like, who's going to be the enemy for the rest of it?
True. That's a great point.
That I suppose it is the T-Rex, but they, or like eventually Roberta becomes the anti-hero it's like, there's not really like too much of like a corporate thing going on or anything like that. It's actually just like situational circumstance that is the enemy. Well, whereas in like Dominion, it's actually like, oh yeah, there is an enemy. Like this guy is like a bad guy.
But what I love about, and kind of in a way, like that flip of the coin between Nedry and Dodgson, is that Dodgson is like careless in a way that he thinks that like, well, I'm going to shut off the power for maybe 20 minutes.
Mm.
And like, what could go wrong? And like, again, that idea, like what can go wrong? Well, whereas like the evil of Dodgson and the science, or not the science, but like the, you know, greed of man or whatever in Dominion is almost like, well, I just need to do this and it's going to help everybody. And you're not even really thinking about the consequences. Like, he's never thinking of like who's going to get hurt in his way, you know, which I feel like is, again, very like, I think a thing. Like, I could imagine if Michael Crichton was still alive, I could imagine him writing a book about that idea of like, that's Corda Dotson in the book where he like releases a virus to some crops.
Stuff
like that, where it would be like, he cares all about results. And so I think that's, I mean, the more I'm thinking about that, like, that's very true to the Dotson we see in Dominion.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a crazy thing to think about. I often wonder as well, I was like, what would Michael Crichton think about like where it's gone? And I feel like he'd actually probably really respect that it's kind of like they've taken that like kind of idea that he had and like gone from what is based on his writing from when did the novel come out?
Oh my God. 1990.
Yeah. And when did he pass away?
2008. I remember where I was because it was the election. Obama won. It was that day.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Okay. So it's like those two events are very like in my mind.
I can't believe I've never looked this up, but did he like the movies?
I think he liked the first movie. I think in interviews he said he wished Spielberg would have made him and darker, you know, like the dark side of Disney kind of thing.
Yeah.
Personally, I would have been annoyed because Steven Spielberg basically like peer pressured Michael Crichton into writing The Lost World. And then for him to make the Lost World movie and it barely resembles the book, you're just like, what the hell? Like, you know,
there's like two things when I read The Lost World where I was like, I remember that. Like, it's very different.
I don't know how you feel about this, but as like a person who reads the Jurassic Park and Lost World books, I love that Colin Trevorrow and like Emily Carmichael and people have written the other Jurassic World movies. I like that they've taken elements from those books.
Yeah.
And like, sort of in a weird way, when we were talking earlier, I was like, Jurassic World Dominion is kind of like a weird remix of like a lot of elements that were never put in any of the other movies.
Exactly. Yeah. And that kind of brings you back to the whole thing of like paying tribute to the novels because it actually explores the ideas that were like mentioned or put forward in the books.
Yeah. No, yeah, there's like, what did you think of the like Biosyn facility and all that kind of like, it feels like a weird theme. Like, I almost like you could do like a Biosyn ride where like it would start maybe like your helicopter flying and then the helicopter crashes and you're like on a track and then you go through like.
Well, yeah, you go through the park and then like you can go through the facility and like even just as like a game or whatever, like an interactive sort of thing. I feel like that would be so cool to like research something, do whatever, or think you're a part of it. And then something explodes. And then all of a sudden you're actually like, you've accidentally released a locust and they're on fire.
Actually,
you're the scientist that fucked that up. Scientist that ruined that and somehow made that mistake. And then it goes up and you've got like dots in there going like, what have you done? Boom, explosion. You're out in the park and you're going through all like the bushfire. That would be, I reckon that is the ride.
Yeah.
It would be crazy.
Yeah. You could like go up into that thing and the chicken tries to eat you.
Yeah. Everything. That would be so cool.
Even the tunnels with like the Dilophosaurus.
Yeah.
Dilophosauruses.
Yeah.
What did you think of that? Having the Dilophosaurus?
Oh,
back?
It was so good. Cause as soon as he was there and I just heard this like, the noise.
Yeah.
I like looked at my mum and dad and I was like, I kept doing it the whole movie and they kept going, shut up. We don't know. We don't know the original movie that well. So like they weren't as big as fans as me. And I kept just reaching over and going like, well, actually this is going to pay homage to the first movie because he pressures Dennis into doing this. And I was just like, it all just like comes full circle. And now it's going to be karma. Like he's going to be eaten by the Dilophosaurus. And my parents like, we don't care. Like we're just here watching it with you. I thought it was poetic justice.
Yeah. No, it was one of those things where it's like, because they kind of already used his death, how he dies in the book with Ludlow in Lost World. So.
And as well, when the shaving cream falls out and he's like, he says something like, this is our contingency plan or a backup option or something. And then it falls out onto the track and it's like, perfectly executed.
I'm so curious. How do you think he got the can back?
That's really interesting because where does it end up? In Jurassic Park, it ends up on the waterfall, right?
Yeah, and it's like the just mud coming covers over it. Yeah.
When do they, like, do they revisit it at any time?
No, that's
the other thing.
Well, and it's funny because you just made me think of it right now. But, you know, I think what I love the most about Dominion is that it felt like every scene there was like a whole movie of like questions and like, I want to know more about this interaction or like this kind of world that specifically this is in, you know, like even just the idea of like Ellie going around and visiting plant sites that have been either attacked by dinosaurs and being like, oh, like I'm going to figure out what this means for this environment. Like, I want to see a whole movie of that. I want to see a whole movie of Justice Smith, you know, working at the CIA, like Barry out like in the like on the in the dinosaur underground. And I feel like with the DNA can, you're like, well, in the original Jurassic Park, it's like, yeah, it just gets buried in mud. And then like now it shows up here 30 years later. Like, did Dotson's-
like did they go over and like illegally go there and scope the island and comb through it or something?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that is, because that's what they must have had to do, right? Or like someone found it, had no idea what it meant and just went, this is an artifact from the Jurassic Park disaster.
From eBay, like,
and he bought it from, he bought it from eBay or something because that person had no idea and was like, because it works, still works. Like,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
just like, it's like memorabilia from Jurassic Park. You know, in Jurassic World, she's like, how did you get that shirt? Don't you think it's in poor taste? Maybe it's stuff like that. Like items from Jurassic Park were like found and put on eBay and sold for like, you know, however many hundreds of dollars. That could have been it. I don't know.
That's crazy. Yeah, that's, again, it's like every scene, it feels like there could be so many.
A movie from it. Well, like spin-offs and stuff. Like even Ian Malcolm, just as like a gossip magazine sort of thing. Like when he's like, is it like four wives and kids with every single one that he says or whatever. And you're only introduced to his daughter in like, in Lost World. And that's the only kid you're ever introduced to.
Yeah.
And, I almost want to know more about like his shenanigans because, you know, he says in Jurassic Park, I'm always on the hunt for a future ex Mrs. Malcolm.
Yeah. Well, and even just the time between Fallen Kingdom and this movie where you're like in Fallen Kingdom, I was rereading Jurassic Park and they talk about how like when Alan Grant started to work for, or like Hammond was paying them money at the beginning, you know, to like just give him like information about the dig sites and everything and all that advice. And then Grant talks about being like a scientist witness for like stuff. I was like, oh wait, that's what Malcolm is doing in the Fallen Kingdom movie. Like that's another book reference that they kind of have like remixed to work within the framework of this new story.
Yeah.
You're like, what happened where he was like basically seeing like, this is a bad idea. Like kind of don't save the dinosaurs basically.
Yeah.
Or just like where everyone's going to fuck this up basically.
Yeah.
And then in this movie, I don't know how you felt about his journey, but I really enjoyed this idea where he's like almost pretending to give up because it's like, he's like every, like you got to imagine if you're the know-it-all, like in the original Jurassic Park, you're like, this is going to fail. You sang this your whole life. Like
at
some point you would be like, fuck it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and I,
like they will take over our world. Like we've just got to learn to live with it sort of thing.
Yeah.
I love as well that they like, he's sort of like, even though he's right, it's his smugness that kind of makes him a bit of a piece of shit, but a lovable piece of shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And then in, like, I love that in Fallen Kingdom, they don't quite show that side of him. They just show him being a mathematician that's there just going like, this is what's happening.
Yeah.
But then in, it's like they bought his whole persona back for Dominion.
Yeah.
Where he's sitting there and he's just still flirting. He's doing all this. He's being smug and he's still sort of a piece of shit. But it's funny because they set that up and he's, you know, getting all this money now. He's released his new book again.
Yeah.
And he just keeps like milking it. But it's almost admirable because you're like, you know, he's like true where he truly sits and he's just kind of milking it from this corporation that he actually hates.
Yes. Yeah.
So I kind of thought that it was like, he's still like, he's a very multifaceted character. And I think like still one of my favorites just because he knows how to play people.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I think that's why I really love Dominion as well, because I felt like they actually gave the trio almost like interesting stories that are just beyond the scope of the movie where you're like, oh, I love this idea that, you know, Ellie never really stopped like fighting in her own way. She's always been like, I'm going to try and like the whole movie is essentially just Ellie Sattler being like, we need to stop these guys. And everything kind of revolves around that in a weird way. Like Grant's the only one who's sort of, you know, it's like the follow-up from JP3 is that like, he's like, oh, I almost lost Billy, but thank God he's not dead. So I can now still sort of like dinosaurs again.
Yeah.
But like, he was never able to get it together enough to be with Ellie. But in this movie, you see him like get his groove back, sort of.
Yeah, exactly. And It's so true. It's almost like he hates what he loves.
Yes.
Like Dr. Grant's just such like, I wouldn't say pessimist, but like a realist. But yeah, maybe actually a bit of a pessimist.
Yeah.
But I still love as well, like my favorite thing, and it's obviously, but like just that you come however many years, like how many years is it between JP3 and Dominion? Do you know?
2001. I mean, it's at least 20 years.
20 years.
Yeah.
And that he's still digging up bones.
Yeah.
Like, I love that part of it because in the novel and in the first movie, he's this jaded guy who loves dinosaurs and hates modern technology. And I love that he is the opposite to Malcolm and he's still fighting that.
Yeah.
He's still going like, nope, I'm still digging up bones and there's kids on their phones that don't even care about this chat that they're going through and everything. And I'm just like, he's still the same guy. He has not changed whatsoever.
And but also it's almost like in a weird way that what has gone on in the world since that time, you know, again, you go on another adventure with dinosaurs and shit's fucked again.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like, I mean, JP3, we've talked about it, but it's just so good. It's like, it's almost like the funniest Jurassic Park movie because literally everything goes wrong in a way that Grant's like, you know, it's like just so, and it's to see people like tired of this shit is like always very exciting.
I think the thing that I love about JP3, I don't know we're still on Dominion, but I think like I was just thinking about it then, is that it's almost like the bubblegum movie of the series because the plot doesn't really serve the entire franchise. Do you know what I mean? It is like this holiday movie that I love. That
JP3
is the holiday movie just because I can, like, someone can watch that with me and I'm like, if you haven't watched any other movies in the Jurassic Park world, like, you can still watch this and it'll still be an enjoyable dinosaur movie.
Yeah.
You know, like you can just say to someone like, yeah, there used to be a dinosaur park and then someone like fucked it all up and now there is another abandoned island and there's two islands that were dinosaur sites and this kid is lost in it. So that's all you need to know. You know, like it's that easy to just explain it to someone. Whereas if you're going to like try to get someone to watch The Lost World, you'd have to be like,
true, yeah.
Oh, okay. So all this happened and then it's on this island and then you just have to try to like make sense of that. But I just feel like with JP3, it's like, they're just saving a kid.
Yeah.
They're saving a kid. They're bringing Grant back. They're on a journey through. They're like, you know, Billy has a character arc.
Yeah.
And then it's basically about them. It's a rescue.
Just a monster.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a rescue movie. And it's a rescue adventure movie.
Yeah.
And like, it doesn't like, you know, there's not really a massive mention of corporations or what Jurassic World might be about or anything like that. But that's probably why I love it so much. I'm like, oh, cool. Like,
it's the most fun to just put on.
Yeah, exactly. I think it is. Yeah. I think it really is.
But it also to that point of like, even since then, the new Jurassic Park opens and then that goes wrong. So it's like Grant is only, he's always just like, well, yeah, of course I'm like, I still have to hold the candle for paleontology because it's like, things have only gone wrong if you've tried to like accept dinosaurs as being alive again.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's really believable that he would still be this way after all this time. I really love how they kind of fall back in love again in this movie.
Yeah, it's so good.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
What did you think of all the, because we've mostly been talking about sort of, again, because I think you could watch, I haven't done this yet, but I want to watch Jurassic Park and then just go straight to Dominion. I'm kind of curious.
Cool.
Because to me, again, like we were talking up at the start of this, is like, I'm curious to how they would play. I mean, this is a dumb example, but it almost feels like it's like if there's like a call and response in a song, I feel like a lot of the like concepts in Jurassic Park, let's make this be like a response to this kind of thing.
Because the OJ3 aren't in another movie together till like from 1 to 6.
Yeah.
And also, there's a lot of things that do happen in Lost World and JP3, but in the long run of the beginning of it and exactly the conclusion, it's not exactly massively important.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say to the storyline as much as I love those movies, that you could go from 1 to 6 and just watch the different things. Because like even Jurassic World, yes, it's gone wrong again. I suppose maybe you'd probably need like Fallen Kingdom to explain cloning.
Yeah.
And like I suppose, but if you just wanted to see like the call and response, I guess that would just be so interesting.
Well, and but I was going to ask, what do you think of all the world stuff? Because we haven't really talked about any of that. Like, and also even just bringing back other characters from the Jurassic World movies and stuff.
I wanted to see more of the implications of everything around the world. Like, I know that they were trying to be very ambitious to fit everything and like give so much to the fans as well. Like they were just like, every scene here is like a little truffle for you to enjoy. Like it was unreal. Like I wish that there was more into like Malta, for instance.
Yes.
Like I like as much as the black market scene like upset me, like I was actually like, I know this happens in the real world with real animals, but there was something about seeing like with dinosaurs too that was quite like confronting. And you know, those things you grow up loving and watching the movies and you're like, oh no. And like wasn't there raptors from JP3?
Yeah, so
in Malta, in the black market scene.
Yeah, but it's like,
Their tail.
Yeah, it's like, just their tail. Yeah. But it's just like, it's still very exciting that it was done.
I mean,
because we're both so hardcore, we just want more of that. But like,
World. Yeah.
But seeing the mom and dad Rex from The Lost World at the very end.
Yeah, but also not the baby. I know everyone's talking about that right now.
Because the baby was killed in JP. I mean, that's my theory.
That's your theory?
That the adult T-Rex in JP3 is the baby from Lost World. But that's just, it's too sad. You know what I mean?
Oh.
Because on the JP3 commentary, which was done by...
Because that's true. It's not Roberta in JP3.
No, because it's on Sorna, yeah.
Because it's on Sorna. And Sorna is Lost World, right?
Yeah.
Well, then where were the mum and dad in JP3?
They're like, be free, son. Leave the nest.
You go and you have your own territory.
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, because on the JP3 commentary, I believe it was this guy, John Rosengrant, who like was in like a lot of the raptor costumes and stuff.
Yeah.
I think he said like on set that was like not fan theory, I guess, crew theory.
Yeah.
But it is like very depressing to think about, you know? Like,
yeah. And I know that obviously like the dinos change genders because the amphibian DNA.
Yeah.
But I remember I've thought about this before and I remember thinking like, I wonder how old the T-Rex was, whichever one became the dad in Lost World.
Yeah.
Because then I thought about it and I was like, I'm pretty sure he was a boy. And then I was like, oh, because they gave birth to it. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So he could have, so he was a boy. That makes sense. I'm just thinking out loud here, but that is such a sad theory.
Yeah.
But it would have had to have been him, right? Like you don't know how many T-Rexes were on Sorna, right? Like
somebody, I mean, there's now been like, you know, some other book thing that said there was like 10 Rexes on Sorna, which like, I don't know. Like,
okay.
I feel like as a Jurassic Park fan, I haven't gone to the level where like, you know, they talk about InGen's list and like, I haven't like counted all, like to me, the only dinosaurs that exist in Jurassic are the ones that we see on screen. Because it's just sort of like, you know, because like in each Jurassic Park movie, they introduce new dinosaurs where it's like, wait, we didn't see the Nasutoceratops like on the boat leaving. And we didn't see Nasutoceratops in Jurassic World. So now there's Nasutoceratopses like running around. Like, where did they come from?
Well, that was my thought with so many of the dinosaurs. Like, I was like, I swear to God, like there's now, you know, the world is overpopulated with all of them. And I was like, you look at the scene in Fallen Kingdom and you're like, there's like one of each dinosaur. How do they procreate?
Yeah,
and then obviously cloning and whatever else. But I was like, that happened pretty quick. Like there's dinosaurs everywhere.
Yeah.
And like, I wanted to know like, are they in Australia? Like, did they send DNA over to Australia? Like, what about the other parts of the world? What about, you know, Or like, I know they showed you Malta and everything in a few different zones like that, but I was like, I want to know about like over the great oceans, you know, like what was going on.
To me, it's like that idea of like, I don't count the cards or count the dinosaurs, because it's like at some point they could be like, well, now Biosyn is making dinosaurs. Now this other company is making dinosaurs. Now there's like a small pet shop in the UK.
Yeah.
Like, you know, in that like intro news report where, you know, at some point, like I can't get too lost in the
fine details.
Yeah. Cause it's like cinematic wise, they're just making new dinosaurs. Cause we're like, this is like, we want to have this new dinosaur in the story or whatever. Yeah. But I mean, it's still like interesting to think about, you know?
And I do love as well how I feel like, you know, how they had to use the Giganotosaurus and how they say in the first movie, they want more teeth. They want more of this. It needs to be scarier and all that sort of stuff. It's like, it's funny that that's reflected in the movies because,
that is a good point,
you know, like apart from the fact that the Indoraptor wasn't bigger technically than a T-Rex, I do think it's funny that they followed that with Jurassic World. They said like, because that would probably happen in the real world, you know, like people would be like, okay, it's like cool that, you know, dinosaurs have been around for 10 years now. And like, we're like, what else? Like, you're going to create something new and it would have to be something scary, right? And that's the thrill side. But as well with the Giganotosaurus, like they've never mentioned it before. And then all of a sudden they're like, okay, we're going to pull this guy out because he's even bigger. And like, why do they always need to make it bigger?
Yeah.
But I just thought it was interesting that like they've gone and each film they've made something kind of scarier.
Yeah.
And that kind of reflected what Claire said in the first one.
Yeah.
Well, and Woo.
Yeah. And actually that's funny because that kind of bridges into the thing I wanted to talk about is the extended edition. So you just watched it recently.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that different from the Jurassic World Dominion other than like the big chunk of the opening. But what did you think about all that?
I loved the intro, but to be fair, I remember you sent it to me after you saw was it the new Fast and Furious movie?
Yes.
And I think it was on YouTube anyway, but you sent it to me as soon as it dropped.
Then
I watched that and I was like, oh my God, and like I die for any tidbit. And I also don't want to spoil it for myself, but I can't help it.
Yeah.
But I remember I watched it as soon as you sent it to me and I had already watched it like 5 times, but it was still so cool to see it connected to the movie because it ties in with the 65 million years later.
Yeah.
Boom. There's Roberta being chased through. And again, is it Roberta at the start?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it is her. It's like, cause I swear I've looked at the lifespan of T-Rexes and she's been going.
Yeah.
And
she's 30 years old at this point.
Yeah. And I swear they've got a pretty short lifespan.
I don't really know. I guess we've only seen babies, but she's getting up there.
You know? She's up there.
Yeah.
Like even at the end of Jurassic World, when she does her like conquering war, war again,
she's like, bye.
Yeah, she looks old. Like she looks old in that. Now she looks even like she looks younger. It's like she got like a facelift for these movies or something.
Well, it is funny because I was reading somewhere in Jurassic World, it's like she's well fed. And then at the end of, because they all get out, it's like the island is in chaos.
Mm.
So it's like, almost like she's had to like, instead of being in a zoo, she's in the wild again. So she's kind of had to like
toughen up.
She's, like my dad who does CrossFit at 63. Like, it's like she kind of had to like.
And the fight as well with the. Indominus Rex. I just got stuck in my thought then thinking like. Because she was in the wild for so long, she had big gashes from the Indo, like Indorex. Like she had like gashes all through and, you know, like animals in the wild, like get infections. I wonder if that's the same for dinosaurs because she's been pushing through. Like you can have a good immune system, but if you get like nearly cut in half by like the claws of a predator who has so much like bacteria, it's the same thing for instance, I don't know if you saw the story. I think you replied to it being like dinosaur, like lace monitors,
that sounds like
goannas out the front of my house, like the big ones that have the tails.
Oh, yeah.
They're honestly like this dreadnoughtus that you have on your table here. It's about as long as this or longer.
Oh, wow.
And so they're long and their claws are like this big. And so while they won't kill you, if they see you, they'll probably run away. They're not too aggressive or anything. But if you get in its way, sometimes they climb you like a tree if you're standing too still. So you kind of have to run. And and so like if they do get you like from a bite or from claws or for your dog or cat or whatever, usually it's not at all the bite or claw that would kill you. It's the infection because they feed on carcasses. Like that's what they feed on.
Oh, so it's roadkill, like the worst stuff on
everything, the worst thing. Yeah. And so like that's why I would think that the Indorex, when she attacked Roberta, surely she was like surely Roberta was like infected. So I just think it's really cool that she's survived.
Yeah.
Because like you think about zebras in the wild, like if they escape a lion attack,
yeah,
it just gets infected. They die a more painful death later anyway.
Yeah.
So yeah, she's tough. She's a tough bitch.
Yeah. To me, Dominion was just so good because I like that it's given us more to think about versus, and I think that's why you like JP3 and why I like it as well, because it's like, oh, I just get to live in this world and like think about all these possibilities more versus like, oh man, they didn't like give us the answers, you know? Cause like, what did you think of, oh my gosh, why can't I remember her name right now? Original Macy.
Her mom.
Yeah,
the Charlotte.
Charlotte, yes, Charlotte Lockwood. Like, what did you think of like the flashback and all that, or like, video flashback? Like,
I thought it was so cool because, as well, it brings this level of like of something. It's not just a clone, you know. It's not like she just popped herself in a machine and a baby popped out. You know, like she actually was pregnant, and it kind of brings that this softness to it and a more of a relatability, I suppose, because she was actually born. And I think it, for her character development as a young girl in, you know, because she's a teenager.
Yeah.
And she wants to experience the world, and she's got this angst because she's like, I'm a clone.
Yeah.
And then she sees these videos, and I think it's really beautiful that she sits there and she goes, oh, actually, I don't feel as much of an alien as I was. Like I was born and not actually cloned from a machine.
Yeah.
So I think that that's cool. I thought it was nice that they included that.
And then that Ellie was like met her originally.
Yeah, and had known her. And like, that didn't seem too far-fetched either, as much as they didn't show it in the first film or whatever. You know, they
But I think that would have only taken place like around the time of JP3.
Yeah, exactly.
And which she was promoting a book. So it almost makes sense that like, oh, on a book tour, she goes to this university and meets this young woman who's had something to do with Jurassic Park in a way.
Exactly. And it sort of feels like Wu was a bit in love with her. I think you get
that's,
that.
That's what I thought too.
Yeah. I think you get like, and it is obviously very possible for someone to just admire someone else for their work and personality, but he definitely did have that look in his eye, I thought, that was a bit like everyone loved her. Everyone was in love with her. She was great.
Was like the star, you know, star student.
Yeah.
Cause also it's like, oh, because when they first released that shot of like a lab with like the Isla Sorna box, like I think it was like one of the first things, and it's like, oh, that's where that was. Cause that was like, to me again, like what I loved about the lore of this movie was that it connected it in ways that didn't feel like cheap. It was more like, oh, those flashbacks are taking place on Isla Sorna during the time of Jurassic Park, you know, like. And even the photo of Charlotte, like under the Jurassic Park.
That was cool. I loved that
weirdly, like, because it's pretty early on in the movie, and that was like maybe the first moment where I like, oh, what's the point of all this, you know, kind of thing. And it made me like feel very emotional seeing that, because it's just cool, you know.
It's sick. And like even when Dr. Grant takes the photo down to Ellie can't see it. Yeah. And it's like the photo of them, and he takes it down because he's just embarrassed, and he's like, oh shit, like I've still been thinking about it all these years. Like, you're still a very important part of my life.
Yeah. Well, and it's also, I mean, and that feels realistic too, because it's like, I mean, I imagine the trauma bondingness of it, you know?
Like, you know, in JP3 where they go and visit each other, or he goes to visit her home, and they talk about the trauma of like just the sounds that they made, you know, and like how he had just like replicated the vocal cords of a Velociraptor.
Yeah.
And he was like, do you remember the sound? And she's like, how could I forget? It's haunted my nightmares forever, you know? Like, and I think even then, it's like, it's such a tease, because you can tell like they're still so connected through so many things, and like their chemistry and everything. And then like, the guy gets home. He seems nice enough. You know, he's oh, good to see you, Alan. Like, whatever. But you're still like, that's not right. That's not right.
It was never right. But then I like that moment in Dominion, you know, post, shouldn't be using this with the mic, but when Ellie's like twirling stun guns? Tasers.
Yeah.
And then, but that whole part where it's like, where Claire and Ellie get to bond, and like, because they never really, the Jurassic Park sequels always kind of make, like, Lost World and JP3 kind of make fun of Grant and Malcolm for their trauma. They're like, just get over it, you know, whatever. And I like that this movie kind of is like, I still get nightmares, like, every night. Like, this is, I like that they were able to connect. And I think in some ways maybe give the Jurassic World, you know, Claire and Owen a little bit more, not, like, more likability and more, like, relatability in that way. Because, you know, It's almost like because they worked there, it's like, get over, you know, kind of thing.
I thought it like even the scene where, because, you know, the most unfathomable thing to Dr. Grant would be to tame a raptor.
Yeah.
And it was almost like, you know, the world, like a comment on the world of like, move over, old man. This thing's happening. And like, I was like, it's a bit cheeky that Chris Pratt's like, I know you saw the velociraptors. I actually train them now. Like, I thought it was a little bit cocky and like tongue in cheek almost. And that, you know, Dr. Grant finally sees one and he's sitting there with this, like, with Delta. No.
Beta.
Beta. Yeah. And he's sitting there, like, doing what Chris Pratt does and the baby goes for him sort of thing. And he captures it and whatever. And he's like, yeah, you know, I just got it back, like, raptor strapped to my back. You know? It's almost like laughing in the face of the trauma that velociraptors put Ellie and Grant through.
Yeah. But he's almost like impressed though.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Like, he's just, wow, he's like in awe. Like, how has that changed? How has that change come about? Like, how did I not think of it first? Sort of thing. Yeah. And he was just like, just like lost in the trauma of it all. But I was, what was I going to say before quickly? I know it's like one of the most obvious Easter eggs, but when Ellie rocks up to see the locust site and she pulls up and she takes the glasses off and the homage to that original scene, so many people that I've watched it with have been like, I don't get it. And I'm like, what do you mean? That's like the scene from Jurassic Park. It's the most like iconic part. Arguably. The scene that's recognizable.
Yeah.
With like that.
And she's
line.
Even wearing a similar outfit.
Yeah. Almost the same outfit.
I liked the new scene in Dominion Extended where they show her inside the house.
Yeah.
Because to me, it's like, again, I think we both like Jurassic Park because of the science aspect. And I like that this movie had like an explanation of how something works.
That's true. Because I watched it, like the extended version. I knew I was watching it, but I kind of, because I'd seen the movie like, you know, a month or two before or whatever. I couldn't quite remember what was in and not in it when I was watching the extended version. And there were so many times I was sitting there just going like, did I really forget a lot of the plot or is this the extended version part? Like, I wish it would just come up in the bottom of the screen going extended version.
Yeah. Well, and I just feel like at this point now that I have that at home, like I'm just going to watch the extended because I just love, this is what I want to talk about. And this, I feel like this can bridge into a new conversation about, so I loved have, I'm just pointing at the Giganotosaurus, but I feel like Roberta Rexy's whole story in this movie is sort of like a Land Before Time plot where like, she's taken to the Great Valley, like where Biosyn is. There's a bully dinosaur that is taking food from all the other dinosaurs.
Yeah.
And so she teams up with another dinosaur, the Therizinosaurus, to take down the bully.
Would that be the time of great giving?
Oh, well, I don't know what specific. Yeah, maybe. But I just mean like, to me, it's almost like Jurassic World Dominion is like so full of ideas. But that's why I liked having the opening set 65 million years ago because it's just like you see this like rivalry that
it's
like
we spoke about this that scene at the start of the extended version is like a full Land Before Time introduction.
Yeah,
it's like I know it doesn't quite go into I think like most I swear it's more than one Land Before Time movie starts with the same similar way with you know tadpole into into land.
Oh, you're right.
Like,
yeah.
Like they it felt like that. It felt like even the start of you know, Dinosaur, we spoke about that last time I was on as well. And that intro where it's the pterodactyl, I think, that's flying through all the scenes and everything, and then it lands in the egg nesting place.
Yeah.
It kind of felt like that, and I loved it. Like, the world of all of that was so cool to dive into.
Yeah, I really like how Jurassic World Dominion almost contains like every dinosaur movie that's ever existed.
Just on the topic of Land Before Time, because I actually went back and watched like up to number 7.
Wait, really?
Okay. Yeah. I think one of my housemates had COVID, so we just went like I like bought most of them too because there's nowhere to like stream them over in Australia at the moment. It was like one I think was on Netflix, and then because the first one's not a musical, but then the rest of them are. But it was Journey to Big Water that I was watching. Journey to Big Water, and that reminds me of The Lost World because you got the mummy and the daddy dinosaur that really want to protect their baby. And that's what I kind of thought reminded me of The Lost World, the Journey to Big Water with Chomper's parents. And he's like, my parents won't eat you this time, you know? And it's like they in Lost World, they tried, but they still sort of survived.
I mean, I don't know if I've seen over, and I was going to go grab it, but I recently got this. because I want to rewatch them all.
Oh my gosh, no way.
It's like the entire box set.
No way.
Because, yeah, I wanted to ask you a little because.
Number five, The Mysterious Island. That's that one.
Yeah, because I think I've only seen, I think I've maybe only seen up to the fourth one.
I don't think I've seen the last one, but maybe I haven't seen 13 and 14, but I have seen The Land Before Time all the way down to Invasion of the Tiny Sauruses. Or no, I've seen The Great Day of the Flies, actually. So yeah, it would be Wisdom of Friends and Journey of the Brave that I haven't seen, but I've watched up to number 12.
Again, as somebody who hasn't seen them all yet, but obviously I'm planning to, which ones are your favorites or which ones would you recommend to other people? And I guess just overall, because again, we talked about it last time.
Yeah. Each one each one focuses on one of the dinosaurs having a bit of their own story. And I'm pretty sure it is the big freeze where Spike gets his own kind of story and his own family sort of thing. And then the Great Long Neck Migration, I'm pretty sure Littlefoot's dad comes back into Whoa. It. I think it's that one. I forget what his name is, but Bron, maybe, I think. I think it's something like that.
Yeah.
And he comes back into it. And
that's a T-Father story.
So he comes back. And then I would say, I think Mysterious Island's my favorite because it has this song in it. Yeah. Chomper's parents and Chomper, where they see him again because they're all looking for water. I think the water dries up or something. And, the crew of kids, like they go to this island and they find Chomper and he goes and finds them food to eat. And they're all kind of scared thinking he's like growing into a T-Rex now. Is he going to eat us? And there's a song that's like, friends for dinner, don't want to be friends for dinner. And it's my favorite song. But apart from that, The Great Valley Adventure would have been the one you saw because the egg song's in it.
Yes.
Yeah, I love the egg song.
Because that one I've recently rewatched a couple of times. Eggs.
Yeah, eggs. I sing that all around my house every time my housemates hate it. And they'll walk in in the morning and I'll just be like, eggs, I'm cooking breakfast.
Well, to me, it's like, it reminds me of JP3, when Taya Leone's like, give me the eggs.
Yeah, it's so good.
But I'm just like, who's this? Who's this lady?
That's
with
Ruby.
Them?
That's actually Ruby.
Oh, wait. Oh, my gosh. That's really funny.
Yeah, that's her name. And she's in the series.
Okay.
There's a series of Land Before Time now. And I think she's more prominent in the series. So
okay.
She might come in the last movie or the second last. I don't know. I haven't seen the last two. So
yeah, she's like a over-raptor almost or something like that.
Yeah, but she's a good guy. I think they're friends. They become, and Chomper's in the series as well, and they become really good friends.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's fun. Again, it's like, and then there's, I mean, again, this box set is just like 14 DVDs.
That is so good.
Or no, I think it's, we're just cracking it open. Nice little unboxing. Oh, it's all falling apart. I mean, it literally is just, oh no, it's two.
Two each. I like that they've given The Land Before Time its own DVD.
Yeah, it's got a, geez, it's all falling apart. Yeah, Land Before Time gets its own.
Gets its own.
A while ago, I wanted to ask people, to give other Land Before Time titles to see if it seemed realistic before. So I'll just read them to you. Somebody wrote suggestions of because again, it's for a lot of people, they've only seen maybe the first couple.
Yeah.
I'm sure plenty of people have seen it, but I guess just growing up, I only saw a few, but I was curious if these would seem like realistic Land Before Time titles to you. There's Land Before Time, Manifest Destiny. Land Before Time, Return to the Great Valley, which I'm like,
that's there.
Wait, is that a real one?
Or Return to the Great Valley? I don't think so.
But that,
it's the Great Valley Adventure, but that's believable.
Yeah, yeah. The Tree Star Adventure, which I feel like that's fun.
Yeah. I've never wanted to eat something so bad as a tree star when they eat it. And I'm like, it's a leaf, but they make it look like it's the yummiest thing
ever. It's like juicy. It's like a juicy leaf. Land Before Time, The Ice Age of Friendship, which
you got the big freeze, the Stone of Cold Fire, and then in the Wisdom of Friends. It's like they've kind of just mushed a couple together.
Yeah. I really like this one, Thagomizer Throwdown, which is because that's the name for the Stegosaurus tail or whatever,
that
feels
so
like a real
good
title to me. And then I like The Dream Jungle, Land Before Time, The Dream Jungle. Which that feels like
that sounds trippy.
Yeah. Well, because I'm like, what is What is the secret of Saurus Rock? I guess I'm asking you to spoil these for me.
I think Saurus Rock is the one that looks like it's the head of a brontosaurus. I think that's what it is. I don't know what I don't remember what the secret of it is. I watched up to Mysterious Island the other day.
What is the Stone of Cold Fire?
It's like something that it's like a geyser or something, and they just don't understand it yet because they've got words like the circle of like what do they call the sun? It's the burning circle or something. It's like, so that it just have like very different terms for everything. But I'm trying to remember which one it was. Journey to Big Water, and they have Mo, and he's like this little dolphin character, and he is so cute. I don't know what dinosaur he is, but he's like this little dolphin looking guy who's yellow with like different colored stripes. I know they're not very color accurate in these movies.
If you were going to recommend, I mean, I guess you recommend watching them all, right? But like, what
Journey to Mysterious Island.
That's the one to like go straight to.
And that's like, if you've seen The Great Valley Adventure, like Chomper comes back. It's actually one of the ones where sharp teeth like aren't the main, they're like the sharp teeth in sort of like the similar to Jurassic Park, that he's like mum and dad aren't actually the enemy. It's sort of like an anti-hero thing in the same way that Jurassic Park has Roberta as an anti-hero in like throughout the series and whatever.
I think
the Mysterious Island, but the songs are like my favorite in that one, I think.
Yeah. I can't believe you're here. This is so much fun.
I know.
I mean, again, I'm sad that we didn't get to do Universal and that it was closed, but this
I still can't believe that.
You have to come back.
I know. Well, I think I might come back in February and it better be open by then.
I'm going to call it. I'm going to be like, hello.
This girl's written a song about dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Came all this way.
Yeah,
I'm not going to lie. I did say that to them. I was like, I've actually written a song about dinosaurs with Jurassic Park in the name. And he was like, do you want an express pass for another ride? I was like, it's okay. I already bought one. Because
like,
I wanted to get on this.
I didn't write a goddamn song about the mummy. You know what I mean?
But the mummy was cool.
Nice.
Didn't make up for it exactly,
It's close. But
it's close.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening. Thank you again, Ruby, for coming back on the show. This was a really special episode, and I had a blast. Go follow Ruby Fields on Instagram at RubyFieldsM8. Get her phenomenal record, Been Doing It for a Bit, on her website, rubyfields.com. Stream live from Repentance Creek Hall there, too. And check for tour dates in Australia. Go see her in the band live. I'm begging you. We actually did continue to talk for another 30 minutes or so about Jurassic World Evolution 2, video games, Breath of the Wild. I think I'm going to post that as a bonus mini episode, so be on the lookout for that soon. Follow me at Stephen Ray Morris on all the socials. Support the podcast over on Patreon at See Jurassic Right. Even a dollar goes a long way. Thank you again. Hold on to your butts, and I'll see you soon.
Friends for dinner. Don't want to be friends for dinner.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.